Well, Jesus' mission, according to what he said in the temple in Luke 4, was all about freedom and healing and deliverance for us and for everyone in the world. And as the word moves in us, that is the purpose of the word. So it's going to stir up trouble. I mean, we all want peace, right? Everything, like you look at chemicals and electrical systems, and they all want the lowest state of energy. We want peace, but we're not going to get peace. We're going to get trouble. So the thing I want to talk about today is the parable of the sower. And you can find that in Matthew 13. Could we turn there? And it starts at verse 3. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell in rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. I think when we read this parable, we pretty much can't or don't want to relate to the first three conditions. We kind of fast forward to the good soil. We want to be the good soil, right?
Yeah.
Right. But in listening to the Lord on this, he showed me that these conditions, all four conditions, are in all of us. And we don't want to be in denial. We want to be able to hear. We want the word to be able to take root deeply in our lives. So the seed that fell along the path is the calloused life. The areas of your life, or should I say our lives, that have been bruised, beat up, hardened. And we've got them. You know, I'm sure in every one of our lives there's certain situations that crop up where we run. We don't even want to deal with it. And those times are an opportunity to hear him. It's not a bad thing. There are no bad things. They're all opportunities. The seed that fell on the rocky places are the cluttered life. Still got a lot of unresolved issues. Rocks that are below the surface, slightly below the surface. And I don't think God is going to be happy with, you see those fields where after they've disked them, you know, you see them going around a rock. I don't think God's like that. He's a different kind of a farmer. He wants to pull the rocks out. And it's real easy to get all excited about the word that comes and then walk out of here and forget it the first time trouble comes. Because that word is going to be tried in us. And we have to allow it to come in. He's speaking to us all the time. How often do we come to him and say, Father, what are you saying? What are you showing me in this particular instance? What are you showing me with this individual? I don't know about you, but I go around and I see people doing stuff that irritate me. Does anybody else ever have that experience? No? Oh, man. I repent. And the Lord showed me that it's like a food that you've tried and you decided you didn't like it. You recognize it because you've had it. We recognize those things that irritate us and other people because they're right here too. It's a drag. Okay, let's move on. Then there's the seed that fell on soil, but it grew up with thorns. That's the concerned life. The life that has too many irons in the fire, carrying a lot of burdens that God didn't place on them. And if you want to look at it, the great example of that particular one, there's a lot of those in the scripture, a lot of examples of that. And you can look over at Luke 10, 38 through 42, and that's when Jesus came to the home of Mary and Martha, and Mary was seated at Jesus' feet just soaking it up. And Martha was busy doing all the household stuff, probably cleaning up after dinner, trying to get the dishwasher loaded. And she got a little irritated at her sister and came to Jesus and said, "Tell her to help. Tell her to get off her butt. I'm doing all the stuff." And Jesus rebuked her in a very gentle way and said, "She's chosen the best part, and what she has will not be taken away from her." In our busy life, where we're going, 724 and all this stuff, there's a lot of stuff that needs to get done. But what's the most important one in our lives? It's the Lord. And anyone who's important to you, you spend time with them. And there's a lot of ways that, there's a lot of things we're trying to do for God. It's not necessary. Just be with Him. The doing comes out of that. But we have an agenda where we feel like we've got to make the earth a better place. We've got to go out and tell people about Jesus and all this stuff. Well, this is my opinion, but when we are open to Him, we're listening to Him speak directly to our hearts and minds, there is a life that is flowing out from us that is touching everyone that we come in contact with. Words are so shallow compared to that. Let the tidal wave of the Spirit wash over people, and they'll be coming to you asking, "Hey, what's going on?" Right? And then, their heart's been plowed. Some of the rocks have been loosened. That hard pan has been broken up a little bit, and they're ready. And then the good soil, that's a cooperative life. The tender heart surrendered to the working of the Holy Spirit. Now, okay, what about the fruit? That's God's thing. When we fast forward to the yields that we want to see, it just is so easy to tweak that into religious striving. Religious spirit is rampant on the earth these days. There's more do-gooders and great causes and all this stuff. And that satisfies our flesh to get involved with these things. But the work is the Lord's. The harvest is His. The fruit is His. There's a lot of things we can do, but it all comes down to surrendering. You know, listening. It says over and over again in Revelations chapter 2 and 3, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." It says it at the end of this parable, "He who has ears, let him hear." Hearing. As David brought out, there's no lack for the preaching of the word, but there's a famine for the hearing of the word. And what's the word? The word is the spoken Christ. Scripture can be the word when it is spoken under the anointing of the Holy Spirit or spoken directly to you by the Lord. But just to sit down and read, that's not getting the voice of God necessarily. It's so important that we just spend time with Him, listening without distraction. Jesus said, "You search the scriptures for eternal life, but you don't realize that they're all talking about me. And if you come to me, you will have life." So what's true freedom? True freedom is not carrying around baggage, emotional baggage, having dealt with our past, free from sin and the law, free to respond to God's word and to others without prejudice. So the parable of the sower is about allowing the word to penetrate our heart's deepest recesses. Now, a lot of us, we feel like there isn't fruit happening in our lives. You know, we're wanting to see more. That's I guess that's a way of evaluating our worth or our success. But that's an artificial thing. You know, we get trapped in another little deal that isn't from the Lord. The fruit is there. There is fruit in all of our lives. But I can't see it. I'll trust Him. You know, how many have grown vegetables and things? You ever grown a potato? You can't see the potatoes. Right? So do you dig it up every day to check on them? I don't think so. You just trust that they're down there. They're down below the surface. And potatoes need deep soil. Let the word penetrate. Let the word penetrate. Remember, Jesus talked about yeast. He said, a woman worked some yeast into the dough, and then the yeast worked all through the dough. That's how this kingdom is. That's how the word of life is in our hearts. We let it in, let it start pulling the rocks out, breaking up the hard pack, and it starts working through our lives. You're not going to see it necessarily, but know that he's faithful to his word. His word goes forth and accomplishes what he wants it to. Whether we can quantify it or qualify it, it's happening. Let's rejoice over that. Now you remember the we can go over there. Luke 24. There's just a really cool situation that happened after the resurrection, starting in verse 13, and it goes through verse 35. You read this on your own, please. I think all of us have an idea where this story went. But the gist of it is these two guys were walking, and Jesus caught up with them, and he asked them, "What's going on?" And these guys said, "Are you dense?" And Jesus said, "Well, why? Why? What's going on?" And they went on to tell him about how Jesus was a great man and worthy in deed and all this stuff, and how he was crucified, and there was reports that he was raised up. And Jesus just laid into him in verse 25, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." So then he goes on to tell him all the scriptures concerning himself. And they begged him to stay with them because it was evening. And they went in and had dinner. And when Jesus broke bread and gave thanks, they saw him. And he disappeared. What I loved is verse 32. "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" This is our situation. We're on the road and Jesus is with us, and we don't recognize him half the time. Let your hearts burn. Everything that happens to you as you go through life, let your heart burn. He's speaking. Hear him. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for being with us, speaking to us, loving us. Help us to see every situation as one that maybe you didn't engineer, but one that you can use. Open our hearts to realize that your word is alive, and you are that word. You're active. You're trying to pull out the rocks. We surrender. We open up all the doors that we nailed shut years ago. All the places that are too sensitive to touch. We allow you, with your great skill, to touch us. Minister to all those areas in our lives. Thank you. Amen.
because God was talking to me about the same parable. Only mine came out of Mark and continued on and went right where you're at, the hearing. It says in Mark 4:24, I think it is. And he said unto them, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that has, to him shall be given. He says that a lot. He says that in the in a lot of the parables. You know, if he gives you something and you work with it, then you have something that you get something more with. I'm particularly reminded about this sidewalk that is along Washington Street in El Cajon. There's this big tree next to it, and the tree has roots, and the sidewalk, which was flat when they poured it, is now propped up. And it has to, what the Lord was showing me with that was, if you open your heart up, if you listen, if you hear, then the rocky stuff gets broken up, and that stuff that's on the top gets broken up by the roots that have already growing inside you. It's the roots that you have growing inside that breaks the rest of this stuff up. Amen. And the water. This is the stuff. We just hear. We just listen. We just relate with God. And he's doing it. It doesn't have to be us doing anything. We just have to listen.
Very deeply touched by the word this morning. I think it's really a prophetic picture of where we are at this point in the age. As believers, you look at the world we live in, the age we're in, just problems everywhere, and just like everything is screaming out for answers. And what that can stir in our human nature, of course, is a definite concern. We want the world to be a better place. We know that God's going to make it that way, his place. But it can lead to a lot of religious striving, trying to do it. Yet the Lord is speaking, I believe, and I confirm this, that he wants us to be hearers, to learn how to listen. Just the opposite of what you feel from the world around you, or the religious world in many cases, is it stirs up anxiety, you know, religious striving, and yet the Holy Spirit is saying, be seated, stand still and know that I am God. Sit at my feet and listen. And I want to read this one more time in Luke 10, verse 39 and 40 that Terry brought out earlier. Mary, who moreover was listening to the Lord's word, seated at his feet. You see the positioning. Not anxious, not worried. She was seated before him and able to listen. In that state, all the soil, the hardness, the rocks, the thorns, that's where it all breaks up. Verse 40, but Martha was distracted with all her preparations. All this working, doing for him. From a spiritual perspective, it's a distraction to the transformation that God wants to bring us through his son as we sit and wait before him. I think this is a very hard word to hear in this day and age, probably in any day and age. But yet I believe it's coming through loud and clear. God wants his people in a place where they can hear him. And as we hear, we become, and out of that comes the living works that bring the change and the fruit. Amen. Lord, bless this word to our hearts. We hear it now. May we also hear it just as loud and just as clear throughout our busy weeks with all the distractions that hound us. We, in our hearts, we know we were created to be in your presence, listening to and becoming your words of life, and then becoming living epistles that will be known and read of all people. Amen. Beautiful. Let's stand. Give one another a good blessing and hug, and if you happen to have a cold,
keep
the cold. And, yeah. Amen. Matthew, yes.
Prayer request. I don't know if my parents have talked to you about my dad. He's going to be going to Indiana.
older sister, I'm not much older, she's maybe 10 years older than me is, but she's been suffering all her life from a miserable childhood, and just pray that
she
be anointed to speak God's word and to be light and salt, and to just may the Lord anoint him to deliver her and her husband from the lies of Satan in this time, and also to give her travel mercies.
Amen.
He's going by himself.
Okay.
And her leaving probably today, which is the reason why he and my mom are not here. So just believe it. Thank you, Lord. Just go.
Amen. We do believe it. Yes, Lord. Amen.
And then earlier on, while listening to this brother, the things that you have left to do, part of that is healing hands. Your hands will be that healing to the nations, that healing individually to people. So look to the Lord for that.
Good. Amen. Hey, it's hard to close a service around this place. Yeah. Amen.